We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Come on. Welcome to Money Savage, Savage Approach to Personal Finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, Strong and Powerful, Chris Bellchamber. Chris, are you ready to do this?
Hi, thank you, George, for inviting me.
Excellent. Chris is the managing partner of CB Investment Management. He managed the UK bond desk for JP Morgan, and he's the author of Invest Like the Best, The Low Risk Road to High Returns. Chris, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Right. Personal life. Well, I guess, yeah, I'm living here in North Virginia. I love sports of all kinds. I'm getting old, so it's now golf that I play a lot of. I've been at market since 1984. I've been at this for a while. I wrote a book for Credit Suisse First Boston in 1988 and swore I'd never write another book. But here I am. I wrote another book. I couldn't stop myself. that's the short version.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. So 1984, so you've seen the markets change and evolve, or are the markets essentially the same as they've always been?
Oh, they're very different. Well, you know, the principles, and practices of, you know, the best people that's kind of timeless. But how the markets behave, who the participants are, the techniques, it's just completely different from what it was back then, that's for sure.
Do you think it's for the better or for the worse, or is that not the way to think about it?
It's better in the sense it's as how ingenious people are at improving and evolving. So that's fantastic. In terms of policy, I think it might be worse because I think we've gone down a road as one of the best investors in my book says, Stan Druckenmiller, there is no end game. So we don't know exactly where we're going, and neither do our policymakers, I don't believe.
So what does that really mean?
That means that you have to be constantly creative and evolve to the situation. It's not like you're in a box where, like a chessboard, there's boundaries and there are rules which are inviolable. We're in a situation where, you know, today things are happening which have never happened before. So you have a lot of tools, but you also have to be creative and evolve to, you know, remain on track with the best practices.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Do you have walk me through a little bit more about your career or what your focus with the markets has been?
My focus with the markets has always been how do you, you know, right from the beginning, I think I've always been risk averse, and I've always been puzzled by the behavior of other participants who just charge in and are very emotional about what they do rather than strategic. And I guess that's why I had to write this book. But rather than talk about just my own approach, I thought the best thing to do is who are the best? Who are the best guys? You know, and what is that? And that's really valuable information because, you know, as a golfer, it helps me to go on the YouTube and watch Tiger Woods swing a golf club or Rory McIlroy. I'm not going to play like them tomorrow if I do that, but I can learn something and get better. So I think defining the best investors is something that people don't do enough of. And I think it's enormously rewarding when you do.
This episode is brought to you by Money Alignment Academy. If you are looking for a financial wellness platform for your company, your organization, and your employees, check out moneyalignmentacademy.com or click on the link in the notes of the show. That certainly does make sense to me that why not emulate the people who are at the highest levels, be it of professional sports or professional investing. And so that's what you decided to do, was to do your best to get inside their heads and learn here's how you think about it and here's how you actually act on that thinking.
Absolutely, and I guess it fitted with my own bias, which is, you know, the risk and the strategic sort of part of it. And what was quite amazing is that there are a lot of commonalities between the great investors, the Jim Simons, the Stan Druckenmillers, and if you use their metrics, first of all, you can create some metrics which show you really in a few seconds whether you're trading like the best investors. Just four metrics will tell you that. And if you create this grid that I talk about in chapter 7, within a few seconds, you can say, am I trading like a best investor or not? And what's the gap between what I'm doing or my investment advisor's doing and the best investors? And then you can more or less realize what track you're on. Are you on this really solid path to high long-term returns? Or are you allocating risk a little bit inefficiently and maybe taking too much risk, which is drawing in luck to the outcome you're going to experience? And do you really want to be on that path rather than the path of the best investors? So I don't think anyone's really kind of defined that and given the average investor some metrics that they should demand to get for themselves from whoever their advisor is, if they're using someone else to manage their money, so that they can have a better informed assessment and understand the track they're on. And I'm very surprised how unusual that approach is. I'm tired of trying to half explain it, so I thought I got to write the book. And so it's there in print and people can see it. So, you know, that was really the purpose. It's enough with the half conversations. We got to have a book that explains all that.
Yeah, that certainly does make sense. We are living in such a, from my perspective, we're living in this wonderful time for the ordinary investor because we have at our fingertips just financial technology companies and tools and low-cost investment management. So if you are a DIY kind of a person, I think it's incredible. But Chris, we need that those metrics and that framework to make sure that we're following a system and we have a structure to know, here's sort of what I'm thinking about when I'm going to be making a new trade or a new allocation, a new investment, but maybe I'm off base a little bit. So this is the framework.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we have like godlike access to information, which is fantastic. You know, there are a lot of steps to be able to use the right tools in the right way. And some of those steps are self-behavior. So like the first two chapters of the book are about your investment mindset, because what was interesting from the best investors was that they would say the biggest problem that most investors have, I mean, Howard Marks said this, I think Warren Buffett said this, and some others said this as well. They said that the biggest problem that most investors have is not the tools, the analysis, the securities, all of those, the economy, it's their own behavior. So I think a lot of it, a lot of becoming a best investor is actually looking at yourself and figuring out the things that you're doing, because unless you make certain behavioral adjustments, you're not going to be able to take advantage of all the incredible tools that are available to you.
And that definitely makes sense. Do you think that there's through lines there for professional athletes as well? We'll kind of go back to the Tiger Woods and the Rory McIlroy analogy, and you could have the best swing and the best clubs and the best ball and the best tee and everything else, but if your head's not right, or you fall apart when something doesn't go your way, do you think that there's a through line there as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we are so behavioral. In fact, I've had some people have read the book, and they're saying, my gosh, you could apply that to marriage counseling. I just had that comment yesterday. And yeah, it's a human endeavor, a human behavior. And you're going to have pressure points. There's going to be moments when, you know, like last March, you know, the S&P 500 is down 34% in 5 weeks. What are you going to do? And you know, you're kidding yourself if you're not feeling certain behaviors at that time, depending on what your position was or how well placed you were. It's very difficult for people to sort through their own behavior to get to the right decision. But their behavior is definitely a part of that decision. So having the kind of tools that can help you be consistent and productive in all those situations is really very important. But there's a certain amount of self-work that has to be done.
Do you find that people embrace that, or do they say, I'll get to that stuff later. Give me the actual chart.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a problem. Yeah. You can take the shortcuts if you like, but the markets have a way of finding you out eventually. If you're looking at a 20, 30 year period, you're going to be tested in many ways. If you take shortcuts, you're going to have to learn that lesson later. And it's probably going to be after some pain and some evolution that comes from that pain. Better do it up front. Sooner you do it, the better.
In terms of everything that's going on with, for lack of a better term, social media sites like Reddit, and I'm sure that there's influenced by all other kinds of social media, how do you see that playing into the markets, sort of expanding that over the long term? Is that going to have a dramatic effect, or is this just the natural effect of more people becoming interested?
You know, I think we're definitely in extraordinary times, and you know, we're to put it in technical terms, we're in an environment where both growth and inflation are accelerating, and they're doing it not just in America or Japan or Germany, they're doing it just about everywhere across the globe. And when you're in that economic environment, which, you know, it's often called quad two, of growth and inflation change, you have the most speculation, the most equities are almost any equity will go up. And so you are in an extraordinary part of the cycle. So you are going to get all kinds of participation. And so the frenzy is, it's kind of rational from that point of view. But don't forget, it's cyclical. You know, we will probably, when we get in the second half of this year at some point, we'll be moving on to something else. And unless you move with the cycles, you're going to find yourself on the wrong side. But at the moment, you're very much on the right side if you're speculative. And we're even seeing the stocks with the worst fundamentals, the highest debt, the lowest profits, the biggest short interest, are outperforming everything else. But that actually is what you get in Quad 2 globally, which we've never had to this extent before.
Got it. So the behavior is normal for Quad 2, but now it's just on an international level.
Yes. Yeah. To a degree never seen before.
And what normally happens in Quad 3?
Quad 3 that's when inflation is still going up, but growth is starting to decline relative to where it was. And so what happens there is a different set. You can still do well in tech and commodities. Those can still do well. But a lot of other financials don't do so well. And so there are different sectors that will do well, and it's less universally good. So you have to pick the right spots, the right sectors.
Got it.
Quad 3. Quad 4, which, you know, the best people at predicting these cycles, and it's a long way out, and we shouldn't really even be talking about it. But at the moment, the highest probability of the fourth quarter of this year in the U.S. is Quad 4, when the only thing you should own is gold and treasuries. Now, I'm not positioning that way now, but you need to be aware that there is a different environment potentially on the horizon.
Things can be different in the future. I don't doubt that for a second.
Yes. So.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on cryptocurrency? Just while I've got you here, Chris.
You know, I think I just read a great article by Diego Parra, who I quote in my book, and you know, I think he expressed it brilliantly in that article. I think it's on LinkedIn. Which I sent that article to my clients. I think that you know, it's exactly the kind of instrument that would do extraordinarily well in the current Quad 2 conditions, because it's a speculative. However, you know, there are some it's really unknown where it's going to end up, and so from a risk management perspective, it's very hard to justify it being a huge part of your portfolio. You can't really hedge it, really. There's nothing. So, you know, you can go down 25% in 2 days, which you recently did. You know, what do you want that to be a big part of your portfolio? Diego Perot said that you know, he thought it was like 20% a good idea and 80% speculation is what he said. I mean, that's a maybe a reasonable perspective, but you know, you have to put everything into the framework of the best investors, and I don't think that many of the best investors have a high participation in cryptocurrencies.
Fair
Let's
enough.
Put it that way, because of the risk characteristics.
I like it. Well, Chris, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I think everybody who's investing should create the grid in Chapter 7. It's just simply risk and return. Put some benchmarks up on that. Put your portfolio in there. And you're going to be able to, in seconds, know what you're doing, how successful it is, and what track you're on. I think the benefits that come from getting on track with the best investors are immense, because what happens is you end up with a higher probability of having a higher return with less risk and stress. So you get those three things, they come together. So if you want to do well and know whether you're on track 10, 20 years down the road, this is, and you look at that grid every quarter, every month, or every day, if you want to, you need to have that information, because it's going to, you're going to do better and you're going to have less stress about what you do. So I think it's a really powerful tool, and very simple. And everybody should be able to have access to it or get that information. It's not complicated. So I think that's probably the number one thing.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets, come on. Chris, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? Where can people get a copy of Invest Like the Best?
The pre-sales are already on Amazon.com. I have a website which moves forward, and you can see what I've written for the last 10 years. It's just simply chrisbellchamber.com. I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn, so I post there occasionally too.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Chris your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to chrisbellchamber.com. That's chrisbellchamber.com. Pick up a copy of Invest Like the Best, The Low Risk Road to High Returns on Amazon.com. Thanks again, Chris.
Thanks so much.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, as we are all in this together.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.